Healy's is enough busy enough for me, but you know, Moab is crazy. It's just too many people. So
yeah,
if we look towards the future, I think one of the things that we have to really consider is how we're going to handle more people.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be climate refugees wanting to move to places like Ely. You know, maybe they'll move to Babbitt, maybe they'll move to Aurora or Eveleth too, but Ely's kind of got the vibe. Mm-hmm. You know, Ely's got it going with restaurants, with outdoor activities, with music festivals and all the great things that go on here, bicycling. So Ely's got the vibe, and it's going to be an attraction for a long time. 25 years from now, I hope I'll make it that long. I don't know if I will. I'm 70, almost 70. But if I would live to 90, I think we're going to see another different Ely. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see a much different Ely, because I think people are going to migrate here from places like, you know, from the desert southwest, which is going to be drying up.
Unbearably hot and dry.
Yeah, and California and other places that are on fire. You know, as long as we can keep our climates relatively stable, mm-hmm. Ely is going to be on a projected path towards almost being too busy. So we got to kind of figure out how we're going to handle that.
And I think that's a really important point, is we as we see Ely start to expand and more people wanting to come here, part of what we've always been, one of the big focuses we've had on this wilderness report is talking about invasive species.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to things like the transportation of invasive species or leave no trace principles or just the idea that we have this amazing wilderness here and the importance of maintaining that, mm-hmm. because it is such a draw, the fact that we have mm-hmm. great clean water, we have great fishing, we have abundant wildlife, we have this amazing natural landscape here. What do you see are the key principles of helping to maintain that?
Well, you lead into a somewhat controversial area.
True.
When it comes to invasive species, I don't think there's any controversy there.
Right.
You know, folks unknowingly bring invasive species when they arrive, especially with motorboats. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not so much with canoes, but even canoes, you got to be careful.
Sure.
You know,
yep.
Sometimes water gets trapped up in the bulkheads, and if you were paddling on a lake with mussels, I don't know. I guess it's possible that some of a little larvae could be there in the water and be introduced. We really got to avoid. What's the striped mussel called?
The zebra mussel.
Yeah. I know, yeah. Striped mussel, right?
Yeah.
Zebra mussel would be horrible here. You know, we've already got the like those large crustacea that clog up your fishing line when it goes down, and they're in Shagwa, they're in Burntside. They are the problem because they're inedible by most small fish because they're spiny water fleas. They're spiny,
right?
And they're hard for a small fish to eat. Bigger fish, they're not eating zooplankton. They're eating other fish.
Smaller fish. Yep.
So that's a problem. They come up on your line if you're trolling deep for lake trout and you reel up your line and there's this glob of gelatinous stuff on there. You look at it closely, it's really a glob of hundreds, maybe thousands of these little spiny water fleas. It's actually what Nancy and I came here to study in 1975 for the EPA was zooplankton in Shagwa Lake.
Really?
We worked for the EPA for two summers in 75 and 76, and that was sort of my profession was working with zooplankton. I was a zoologist and an ecologist, and I know a lot about zooplankton, but it was before there was anything called a spiny water flea.
Mm-hmm.
We had, there were big organisms like an insect called Chaoborus that was soft and edible, not a spiny thing. And that's another way Ely has changed, just like the rest of the world. We spread things around the globe because the world is so internationally connected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff comes into the Duluth Harbor and it ends up in watersheds and people bring it to other places. So, yeah, that's a problem. But I mean, I think we're doing a great job with, I think we could do maybe a better job, but basically we've got people on the lookout and we've got people educated about those invasives, and that's one problem I think we can all work together.
And it seems like as an outfitter, that's a big part of your business is just educating people on these things.
Yeah, it is. You know, we as canoeists, I mean, our canoes don't go outside of the boundary water. So when we rent a canoe, we're pretty sure there's not going to have invasive species in it.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody comes up here with a boat or a canoe from somewhere else, it's a good plan to talk to them about making sure it's been dried, you know, basically completely dried out. So there's no water hiding behind a bulkhead somewhere underneath a deck plate or something. So, you know, I think the big problem is, you know, somebody coming up with a big fishing boat from, you know, who knows where, Brainerd, for instance, and sticking it into, you know, snowbank or the moose chain, and boy, that could happen quick.
Yeah, without proper cleaning, without draining live wells and bilges and things like that.
Yeah, but I see those people out there checking, you know, there's somebody with the little pop-up tent on Burnside and on Fall Lake.
Yeah, there's a lot of strong efforts out there to educate people and make sure that they're not transporting them.
Yeah.
So it's good to hear your perspective on, you know, how you got started here in Ely and how you've seen things progress over the years.
Yeah.
I feel like we could talk for much longer about this, so maybe we'll have to do a podcast sometime.
Well, you got an old guy like me, you know, we got a lot of stories. A
lot of stories. That's one thing. Well, it's you've lived a good life if you come away with a lot of stories.
I'm planning to continue.
I hope so.
You too.
Well, we'll do this again. We'll definitely have an expanded conversation. I really appreciate you coming by. Steve Paragas.
Thank you.
Good luck on the new building down on Sheridan Street there.
Thank you.
Everybody's excited to see how that progresses.
It's coming along slowly, but it's coming. We'll see what the next month brings. You know, our contractors are busy.
Yep, for sure. Good deal.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Steve Paragas, joining us on the weekly Wilderness Update, brought to you by the BWCAW Coalition in partnership with federal, state, nonprofit, and business organizations to prevent the introduction of aquatic invasive species into the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. You're in tune to the End of the Road Radio, 94.5 WELY.